We're going to be in 1 John. Yeah, please, yeah. I'll get this other one. Yeah. First John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. What a beautiful day it was we had today. We will probably finish out 1 John here tonight. We had amazing homecoming, great homecoming. Thanks to everyone who helped in that, making that just a great time. It was good to see Paul Washer come. We hadn't seen him in a long time, and Chato and his family, and worship team did great. And so I know there was a church from Olive, Kentucky that messaged me wanting to know who they were. And so I gave them their name, so hopefully they'll go and do a homecoming for them or a service for them. So, but anyway, we're going to be in 1 John chapter 5 as we finish out. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, as we bow our heads tonight, we first of all thank you for being so good to us. And Lord, it just isn't a day that goes by, Lord, that you're not. And every minute that goes by, that you are always good. And Father, sometimes in our lives, in our busy lives, Lord, we tend to forget how good you are. And we just have to pause and be still and know that you are God in every situation of our lives. And Lord, tonight we may have come in from a busy day, a busy week, a lot of stuff going on. Father, let us take this time tonight just to pause and just recognize that you are absolutely amazing. Outside of you, there is no hope, but with you and in you, there is all the hope in the world. Father, 2,000 years ago, you would go to an old rugged cross and you would die a death that was meant for all of us. And you would pave a way and you would make a way that we can be with you forever and ever and ever. And Father, just a little while ago, I had the opportunity and the privilege to pray with a lady, a saint lady who is close to home, and to see her husband rubbing her head. They've been married 66 years, kids around her, and Lord, she is so close to seeing you face to face. And Father, she loves you, and her kids were talking about how much she enjoyed reading her Bible and just praying. And Lord, I know that she loves you, but her love for you doesn't even compare for your love for her. And so, Lord, I pray for her right now. I pray for that family right now. And Lord, I just been thinking about them this afternoon. I pray that you'd be with them. And Father, we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 5, verse 1, last week we were talking about the incarnation of God and how God came as God, but he was also man. He was the God-man. He was fully God and he was fully man. We know that he can identify in every way that we can relate to him and he can relate to us. And so he can identify with what you're going through. He knows exactly what you're going through. There's times in our life that we will say to someone or even think to ourselves, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what's going on with me. But God can. And so God knows exactly everything that's going on with you, and he knows everything that's happening in your life. And he absolutely cares about you in all ways. And so he is the God-man. They didn't believe. There was a group who were bringing in false teaching and didn't believe that he was fully God, that he could be fully God and fully man. He was more of a teacher. And so they were going against that false teaching that he was the absolute God-man. And so in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, this word believes is not just a one-time believing. I've said that, and I'm going to continue to say that, because we can get stuck and hung up on a one-time belief. But this word believes is a continual belief. Is that, yes, I believed when I was 23 years old that Jesus Christ died for my sins, and I still believe that to this day, even stronger than ever before. And I've learned who He is, and I know who He is more today than I did when I was a younger believer. So it's a continuation of believing in Christ. So everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. By loving God and carrying out His commands. Now, there are those who will come into a church building. There are those who will make a profession of faith. And most of the time, now sometimes I can get caught up, but most times I don't say that a person is saved. I say that a person has made a profession of faith. And if it's a true profession of faith, then it will be carried out until the day of completion. It will go all the way to the end. It will persevere. But if a person is truly born of God, he's going to love God, and he's going to love His commands. He's going to love everything that God is about. And so there are those who will come in, and the Bible says that there's the parable of the soils, that there will be some who will spring up, but then they'll die off. There will be some who will, and there was three soils. There was a rocky soil, and there was a thorny soil, and some of them will be choked out, and then you won't see them again. Well, if you truly loved God, you're not going to walk away from Him. You're not going to leave Him. Now, you may for a while, prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love, but in that discipline of God and in that love of God, and in sometimes God has to adjust us and so bring us back to where He needs to be, but there is a genuine love for God. If I were to come to you and say, do you love God? What are you going to say? Jack, if I come to you and say, Jack, do you love God? You're going to say, absolutely. I'm going to say, why do you love God so much? Because He first loved me. I wouldn't know what love was if it wasn't for God. You wouldn't know what love was if it wasn't for God in your life. And so, anyway, so this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. What do you think that's saying? Everyone born of God overcomes the world. Some of you may say to me, boy, the world is really eating my lunch right now. The world is really attacking me in every way, and it's beating me down. But everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. Well, it literally means that because of what Jesus did in His death on the cross, He's already won. And because we are in Christ Jesus, we too have overcome, not by our power, but by the power of Christ. And so we can have great confidence tonight to know that not in and of ourselves, but on the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we have overcome the world too because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He is our strength. He is our victor. He is our protector. He is everything to us. Now, let me ask you this. Is there times in your life that you forget that? Absolutely, right? I mean, there's times in our life that we can get so caught up in our circumstances. We can get so caught up in the busyness of life. And we can get frustrated with ourselves. And we can get frustrated with everyone else. We can get frustrated with the church. And a lot of that comes from not being where we need to be in our relationship with God. You can always tell in your own life, in my life especially, I can really speak for me more than anything else, I can always tell when I'm not walking as closely with the Lord as I should be. And it's because then I'm so burdened down by things that are coming my way that I can't even control. There's a lot of things that are out of our control, right? I mean, that's the fact. But if we're not walking with God and we're not following His commands, next thing you know, the world is overtaking us until we come to the understanding that He's already won. And so sometimes we have to be still and know that He is God and He has already won this war that we're in. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. How many do you believe tonight that God is able? I mean, He is absolutely able. He is able to overcome anything that you and I are faced. We have giants in our life. I don't know what the giant is in your life tonight. I don't know what it is that you're struggling with, but everyone has these giants that come up in our life. But knowing that Jesus Christ is bigger than any giant that you and I can face, and we can claim victory knowing that Jesus Christ has already conquered all the giants that we have. Why is it that the giants in our life seem to grow? I mean, have you ever thought about that? Sometimes, do you ever stress about something? You ever worry about something, and next thing you know, it gets bigger, and it gets big. That's a giant that's hard to overcome, and a lot of times it is because we're not focusing in and we're not leaning in to Christ and knowing that He has already overcome that, and so that He has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So take out the believers who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The others are unbelievers. So think about them. They don't have victory. You and I know people tonight that are in death or living dead, and they don't have any hope. They don't have what is their hope? What is a lost person's hope tonight? There isn't anything. Outside of Jesus Christ, there isn't anything. For us as believers, while we're gathered here tonight, our hope is in a risen Savior. And we know that. There's no doubt in my mind. Why? Because the risen Savior lives in me through the power of the Holy Spirit. So for us as believers, we have victory in the risen hope of Jesus Christ. For those who are unbelievers, they are living as is there is no hope, and you can see it in their life. You can see it in their family. You can see it in the things that they say. Their only fame to glory is this life that they live. And if you say this is my best life now, oh, you just wait. For the believer, it's only just begun. For the unbeliever, it hadn't even started. Because for the unbeliever, this probably is your best life now, because it's only going to go downhill from there. And so, again, I want us to remember why John is writing this book, so that we who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Verse 6. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by the water and the blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which has been given about in His Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe that God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed in the testimony that God has given about His Son. So in the Son, we know that He was born. He was born by Mary. He was born physically, okay? And we know that also that He was baptized by God the Father, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. That was going to be the beginning of his start of his ministry. And he's going to live for the next 3 years. And he's going to die on an old rugged cross. And it's going to be by the blood of Jesus Christ that the ultimate sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice, he's going to die for the sins of the world. And he was buried, of course, we know. And he was raised to the right-hand side of the Father. I don't know who was teaching the other day, but being at the right-hand side of the Father, what does that mean? I think it was maybe Ben Ronnie Stinson, that he sit down, that he is finished, it is done. Okay? So, he's talking about the believer. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. The Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe, God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. Now, how many people do you know who do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God? I mean, we know a lot of people like that. And a lot of times you may not know it by just what they said to you, but by the way they live their life. You can tell by the way they live their life. I remember plainly living outside of Jesus Christ. I wasn't living my life according to Jesus Christ. I wasn't living my life according to His commandments, or I wasn't loving Him. I was loving the world. I was loving myself. So therefore, I was living a lie. I was living a lie. I was walking in darkness. And it says, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. For some of us, we say, we know that. We know that. We've known that. If you notice that in Scripture, it reiterates itself. It brings it up over and over. Why? Because we have to continue reminding ourselves what Jesus Christ did for us. Now, you say, I know without a shadow of a doubt. Here's the real question. Do we live it as we believe it? Do we live it as we believe it? Does your life speak of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Does it show in your everyday life that you are standing and you are hoping in Jesus Christ in everything that you are? You see, there are those who would identify them as Sunday morning Christians. They're there every time the doors are open. But then the rest of the week, they live the way they want to live. That's not the true, genuine believer. The true, genuine believer lives it on Monday just as he lives it on Sunday. He lives it on Tuesday just as he lives it on Sunday. Why? Because it's his life. It's who he is now. It's his identity. It's who he connects with Christ with. It's through the blood of Christ. And so, there's no way that you can just turn this off. There's no way. There's no way that you come to me and say, listen, it's all good on Sunday morning, but on Monday when you get into work, you need to turn that off. Sometimes you hear people say, you come to work, you need to leave your family stuff at home. You come to work, you need to leave all that at the door. You need to, and there will be some who will say, you need to leave the Jesus stuff at the door. You can't do that if you're a believer. You tell that to the Apostle Paul. You tell that to Paul. Paul, it's okay to do missions here, but over here, you just got to leave that. So to Paul, there was no closed countries. Many of us, we would look on the map and calendar and say, well, that's a closed country. They don't let any Christians in. You tell the Apostle Paul that that's a closed country and they don't let any Christians in, that is going to drive Paul even harder. Paul's going to try to find a way by a boat. He's going to try to find a way somehow. Why? Because within him, There is a desire and a burning desire to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, because there is a group of people who aren't worshiping God, and they are worshiping the devil, and they are worshiping this world, and they are worshiping themselves. And if they die, they're going to go to hell forever and ever and ever. And Paul was going to make sure that he was going to bring the gospel as best he could in their life. That should be the life of every single believer on the face of the earth. Because Christ has changed us. He's changed our life. You know, Ronnie said something Sunday morning that just really resonated with me. And you know, I'm I don't like to talk about it much, but I'm getting closer to retiring. And he said this: as long as I live, I'm still going to preach. Why? He can't help but not. There's no way that I am going to ever stop preaching, ever stop teaching. Why? Because that's who God's made me to be. I have the good news of Jesus Christ in me, and it's got to come out of me because of what Christ has done for me and in me, and therefore we must go. A church is not about coming, it's about going. Jesus said, I come to seek and to save what? That which is lost. And that should be the desire of all of our heart, is that yes, we come for a short moment in time to hear the Word of God, to get recharged, but it's more about going and taking what you know to be true into a lost and dying world. And so, John is nailing down, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever has the Son has life. Opposite of that, whoever doesn't have the Son has death. I mean, this is where the rubber meets the road. A lot of times we don't like to talk about things because we're afraid that we might offend someone. Well, I don't want to offend someone. I want to continue building that bridge. Well, I don't know so much, because sometimes it takes a long time to build a bridge, and sometimes the gospel needs to go now. And it needs to go now, and it needs to go quickly, because the power isn't in you, it is in the Word of God. And we have to realize that whoever has the Son has life. I don't know about you, but I know about me, because it's personal with me. I know that there is life in the Son, and I have the Son, and I have life. And I'm pretty sure you do too. But I never assume, because I have seen people all of a sudden realize, I don't have life. I have been going through the motions for many, many years, and there is just something missing in my life. I have talked to people over the years multiple times. I've grown up in church. I've been in church. I've helped in church. I've done all this, but I'm lost. And we've said this, and we will keep saying this, that it doesn't matter how many classes you've taught. It doesn't matter how many plates you've carried ushering. It doesn't matter. What really matters is, do you know Jesus Christ, and does He know you? And you see, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Now there is a huge difference between having life and living. Now, there are a lot of dead men walking. They're walking around. And they're dead. You say, well, they're not dead. They wouldn't be walking if they were dead. They're spiritually dead. They are spiritually dead. I lived that way for 23 years of my life, and God broke into my life, and that living dead person became alive and now has life only because of the Son. I contributed only one thing to my salvation, and that was my sin. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And so because of what Christ did for me and did for me at the cross, I now can walk with life in abundance of the Son. Verse 13, this was our verse that we kicked it off with in 1 John. I write these things. Remember this whole few chapters that we've been going through. I write all of these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to His will, that's the key. According to His will, He hears us. Doesn't mean that you come to Him and ask Him for anything, He's going to give it to you. Aren't you glad that He didn't answer all your prayers? I mean, because He knows better than us, He knows better than me. I am so thankful that He didn't answer. But when we pray according to His will, what does that mean when we pray according to His will? That His will be done. It's not our will, His will. What else? Yeah. 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 I'm just giving you time to think about this. I know it's a tough question. Okay. Right, right. 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 Okay. All right. Any others? Making you think, aren't I? Have you thought about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? He prayed, "If there's any other way, Lord, Father, then please take this cup from me." And? Not mine, but yours. But He had prayed, "If there's any other way, than to take His cup from me." And there's no other way. But then He said, not my will, but yours. God always knows best. But in our thinking, we think we know best, but God ultimately knows what's best for our life. So therefore, I think praying according to His will, knowing that what we want in our life is for His will to be done, not our will to be done. And so there's times that God will say, wait. Sometimes God will say, no. And sometimes God will say, okay. Yes. There were some times that there was prayers that were only, there were some times that there was only some things that were answered by God only through prayer. It said this was only one that can be driven out by prayer. Remember that. And prayer only. And so there's times that I know this is causing us to think. I'm sitting there watching your faces right now as you're thinking, praying according to His will. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. So, when I'm thinking about that, the confidence that we have in approaching God, I like to think about what's the opposite of that. It's not having the confidence to approach God, standing back and not having the confidence. So Jack for an example. I'll use Britt for an example. I'll use Britt this time. Did you always have confidence that you could approach your dad? Ed, I mean, you could go to him at any, huh? You could go to him about anything. And I could go to my dad about anything. And so the more we know someone, the more confidence we can have in approaching them. Now, if you know someone, you can approach them. Think about someone you don't know. I'm going to use this as an example. I'll use Daryl as an example because he pulls people over for a living. So when he pulls people over, just bop right up there. Hey, how you doing? He don't know them. Not going to approach them like that. Sometimes you walk on the other side, don't you? You don't have that confidence because you don't know them. But when you know your father, you have the confidence to approach them about anything. Now, did your dad give you everything you asked him for? No. And same is true. So I like to take biblical examples along with our life examples. Yeah, Jack.
I think if any of us, being human, are sick, are hurting, are in terrible circumstances, we can pray that God would heal us, that God would get us through this, that God would alleviate it, that God would whatever. But we also pray, if not, then give me the grace and the strength to go through it.
Yeah.
Because we won't always know
right
exactly what He will do.
What do we know?
We know Him.
Yep. So that's another question I'm leading. What do we know that is in line with God's will? Huh? His glory. What did you say? Right. So what are some things that we know that are His will? What? To be holy. To love our brothers and sisters. To have the fruits of the Spirit. What else? To go and make disciples of all nations. To go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. So the things we do know of His will, I mean, there are things that we know. The real question is, are we doing what we know? Are we doing what we know? Are we living out what we know? So this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything, excuse me, according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. If you see any brother or sister commit a sin that does not lead to death, you should pray and God will give them life. What is it? What does He mean by that, that does not lead to death?
The unpardonable sin.
What is the unpardonable sin?
Denying the Holy Spirit.
Denying the Holy Spirit.
It's really knowing
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyone else? Right. Do you believe that if you don't listen to God, you can continue? You're a child of God, but you're just living for yourself. Do you believe that God can just take you on home?
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's go a little further because we're running out of time. If you see a brother or sister commit a sin that does not lead to death, you should pray and God will give them life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I am not saying that you should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. Okay? We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. Okay, I want you to catch that. Anyone born of God does not continue to sin. Now, a lifestyle of sin. Living a lifestyle of the way you used to live, and that sin doesn't mean you're not going to sin. But now that sin bothers you, keep them safe. And it says, the one who is born of God, keep them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We see evil everywhere, right? I mean, all you got to do is just turn on the news and you see evil everywhere. So we see evil everywhere. Verse 20. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. So God has given us understanding. Do we have all understanding? No. What we do understand, we have gotten from God. And so therefore, God has always given us more understanding. I mean, there's a lot of things I understand today that I didn't understand 10 years ago. And so what is that called? That's called sanctification. God gives us the amount of understanding that we need in the moments that we're in. Okay? So if we had all understanding, only God is the one who has all understanding. So He gives us that understanding so that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true by being in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Why didn't He just say He is God and eternal life? He said He is the true God. Because there's others that are false gods. And so He's bringing about, and I think Paul Washer had written a book called The One True God. Because there are a lot of gods out there. There are a lot of gods in our lives that we, if we're not careful, we worship. And it may not look like an idol. It may be a sports team. It may be your job. It may be whatever. But there is the one true God, and He is God above all. He sent His Son to die. And He was raised and He's seated at the right-hand side of God the Father. Closing, verse 21. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. You find that interesting? That He abruptly ends this book and says, dear children, keep yourself from idols. Because we have a tendency to worship other things. So worship is what you give your worth to. And so if you're not careful, you could be giving your worth to other things other than God. So we have to sit back, we have to pause, and we have to look at our life and say, okay, what am I giving my worth to? All you have to do is look at your pocketbook, your checkbook. All you have to do is look at your time. You have to look at those things like that, and you see where you're giving your worth to. And so make sure that you keep yourself from those idols that come into your life that rob you of the one true God. Okay. Any other thoughts? Any other thoughts before we close? All right. Let me get the prayer list here.